Hey everybody, this is Erica Mello, and welcome to episode number 203 of Tough to Treat. And Susan and I have been recording these on video now for our listeners to sort of get our YouTube channel going a bit more. And sometimes when we demonstrate things, it's kind of hard for listeners sometimes to understand a little bit through audio only. And I tend to move my hands, obviously, when I'm teaching. So I hope you enjoy the format. It'll still be audio on our and wherever you listen to podcasts, but we will also have a YouTube with video as well. We have a YouTube channel, but we've been posting mostly audio. So, but for the past four or five episodes, it's been video. As a matter of fact, there's one. I think I had some slides from our combined sections meeting in there as well. So feel free to go to the YouTube channel if you have not done so. It's toughtotreat.com. And feel free to leave us a comment as well. So this episode literally is about closed chain and open chain arm exercises. And I'm treating a tennis player right now who really has a difficult time with open chain. I mean, literally, a right-handed player has a hard time. Forehand's much better now, but it's a hard time coming over, with a serve. I just can't activate the appropriate muscles that I need him to get that move, more seamless, I think is a really good way of putting it. He can do it, but he can do it with compensation. And over time, that wears us down. And so I really want to talk about some open and closed chain exercises I do for this, as well as looking at scapulothoracic disassociation and scapulohumeral disassociation. So I hope you enjoy the episode. And once again, any questions, feel free to reach out to either Susan or myself at toughtotreatpt@gmail.com. Everybody, this is Erica Mello, and welcome to episode number 203 of Tough to Treat. As I mentioned in the intro, this is about open and closed chain. I think whether you're a physical therapist, physiotherapist, or not, I think anybody in the movement industry or the strength and conditioning industry knows what open and closed chain is. And I think we need to do both, right? There are many patients of mine who can do closed chain, no problem, but can't lift their arm up. I am actually one of those people. I can do a push-up on the floor, but I have a hard time doing an open chain with a 3 pound weight. It's different recruitment patterns, different muscle activation. So in the intro, I talked about a patient of mine who had, he's a tennis player, used to be competitive, then turned to coaching. And now tennis is more of a recreational activity for him, but he has the movement pattern. And, we talk about this a lot, what set the person up, what kept them there. Okay, and this is a dominant movement pattern for him. He's a right-handed player. So he initially came to see me with problems with the forehand and with, serving overhead smashes, volleys less so, and backhand was pretty fine, right? And so you look at the difference, why is the backhand fine and why is the forehand not? So that's another episode, but that's how we as physical therapists need to clinically reason and help figure out where the driver is. Okay, so his very common in tennis players, their upper thorax up in their upper ribs. Like this is our collarbone, right? And so our clavicle and our first rib is right here. So our second rib, goes down into the chest area and all the way down the rib cage, right? So on the dominant side, the tennis players are going to have much more compression in their ribs, two, three, four, right? In their glenohumeral joints. So this particular guy, forehand's a lot better, but he just has an overactive, scapular, he has dyskinesia, overactive levator scap, scapular winging, very common in our field. We see this a lot. We do see this a lot. And so I was having a difficult time at the beginning progressing his open chain exercise. I mean, he literally couldn't lie supine on the table. And I'll just show you here. I actually have some notes and a couple of props. So for those of you who are on audio, it's just a yellow TheraBand. So a yellow TheraBand wrapped around the forearms and, just doing something like this, even like lying on your back in supine and doing a chest press or a skull crusher or just an overhead shoulder flexion was really hard for him. Okay. So I started him off on hands and knees. And so I have a couple of things down here, a list. I'm just going to look down a little bit. This has been very helpful for me, especially for patients who, anybody who has a glenohumeral driver, a shoulder driver, open chain's going to be tougher for them, for the most part. Okay. But you want to think about scapulothoracic disassociation, right? Scapula, to disassociate the scapula off of the thorax, and scapulohumeral disassociation. Okay. So you're looking and you're going to go from neutral in the thorax neutral in the scapula to not neutral. So that's how I think we could look at it. And so for this particular patient, open chain, as I mentioned, with the yellow band was really hard for him. And so I had him go on his tummy. So his drivers, this guy's driver, he was supposedly diagnosed with thoracic outlet. There was no evidence of that on MRI at all. But I could provoke his symptoms. I just stick my two fingers in his armpits and, poke around the ribs on the upper right side of his shoulder. I can reproduce most of his symptoms, right? There's a lot of compression. And Susan and I often talk a lot about on the podcast these Franklin balls. So a lot of people who have a lot of compression through there. I originally had him sit with the balls under the arms, if you can see, but like that. And on both sides, actually, because that helped. You don't want them to push in, right? You want them just to put something in their armpit so it'll give them space there. These are a great way to do that. Okay. So once again, it's just like that. Okay. And they're not doing that. They're just relaxing down. Okay. So if they don't have them or don't want to get them, they can put washcloths. And it really helped him get a sense of more space in his on his upper right under his shoulder and his thorax. And so so I had him start on supine, excuse me, prone, because one of his drivers was his thorax, okay, and his and a secondary we call glenohumeral joint driver, okay, and he had some issues in his neck as well, but the main issues were the thorax and the GH, right? So there are a lot of muscles, we call them vectors, that were linking these two regions of the body that I needed to separate before he did any strengthening. So I think that's the clinical reasoning. Where's the driver? He previously had he had gone somewhere else, here in New York City where I'm located, and they just did put cuff exercises, and that didn't help him at all because the glenohumeral the shoulder is not his primary driver. It's one of them. But there are strong links between his thorax, because he was a tennis player, and his shoulder that needed to get released manually with manual release and then train appropriately. And so after that was done, we were progressing him to open chain. He still couldn't do it. It was really tough. So I had him go prone on the table with a pillow underneath his tummy to give him some feedback into his thorax so he'll get that sense of center, okay? And head on the plinth, arms hanging off, and just literally almost like dead arm, so to speak, and just have him with his thorax on the pillow, just have him do like just prone arm lifts, but not like this. Literally from like zero to 10, just to get that sense of open chain. As long as he was controlling his movement, I was fine with that. And he did that fairly okay. So I gave that to him for about a week. That was the only way I could get open chain in his program, because supine just still wasn't cutting it. He was over recruiting. And so, I believe that you can keep a patient at a low level open chain exercise for a long time, because they're trying to build capacity and they're trying to build adaptations to exercise. However, I progressed his closed chain fairly quickly because he was able to do that really well. And so I'll tell you what I did in closed chain, and then I'll go back, okay? Because I know this is a shorter episode this week. So with closed chain, just remember now, scap, thoracic, scap, humeral, we obviously hands and knees, right? Anybody on their hands and knees, you could have them lift an arm, lift a leg, anything hands and knees, he could control pretty well. Right, pretty well scap thoracic dissociation, right? So hands, I had him go normal, narrow, wide. Susan and I have talked a lot about this on the podcast. Anybody with an upper extremity driver will have a generally, not everybody, but most people will have a problem when they go narrow, unless there's another issue going on. I have a patient right now where that's the case. He's actually better narrow. Okay. However, a lot of people who have upper extremity drivers, they're going to be a little bit more limited with the narrower arms on the wall, because their upper quarter can't adapt to that narrower base of support. They don't have the capacity to do that with that load. It's a low load, but it's a load nonetheless, right? When your hands are on the wall. So with him, hands and knees, I had him rock forward so he could activate his deltoid. I did a lot of tapping. I took the Franklin ball, did a lot of tapping. You could just do your hands. What you could also do, I did not do this with him, but you could also have them wrap a very easy yellow TheraBand around their forearms, go on their hands and knees just for that proprioception, and rock back and forth with this. Okay. 5%. You push out about 5% against the band. Okay. So I did a lot of that with him. Then what I actually had him do is I had him put a a pillowcase underneath both arms. So one pillowcase, one pillowcase. And then what he would do is he'd go on, he's on his hands and knees, he would move one forward. So he's almost like getting, it's not open chain, obviously, but he's getting that flexion in via a closed chain movement pattern, right? And so same thing. So he would on his hands and knees and he would push out like that, right? Getting, more shoulder flexion. Closed chain, so to speak, right? Also scap thoracic disassociation. Your fairly common ones are, wall planks, right? Wall push-up, down dog, chaturanga. Those are very common closed chain movement patterns, right? And I did give that to him. I have access to Pilates equipment on a Pilates reformer. I had him do knee stretch. For those of you who do clinical Pilates, you can have your patient, or even if you don't, have your patient put on the bar, on the reformer bar, normal base, and then they vary it. They go narrow, and then they could also go keep one hand on one position, then move another hand wide. So that's you're really challenging that thoracic translation and that thoracic control. And so that's another great closed chain exercise for scap humeral, excuse me, scap thoracic. So on the wall, I've had him do now with his hands are in this position, and he is going into like internal and external rotation, just like that. So for people who are listening, my hands are your hands are on the wall, and all they're doing is just raising and lowering their elbows, literally going into external or probably neutral and internal rotation. And when he first did that, he was really hiking his shoulder up, levator scap was kicking in. That's more scapulohumeral disassociation. So that's a great one to do as well. There's one also for a closed chain, we call it talk about bow and arrow. So hands on the wall, and then you come out and you go into that bow and arrow position into rotation. Those are all great closed chain exercises. And for those of you who don't have access to Pilates, the wall is a great option, right? Or on the floor. I kept him in hands and knees for quite some time because I was able to get him on his hands and knees, have him really recruit his deltoid because he had a real big strength hole there. And then have him move into, more of like a patterning with the pillowcases going into shoulder flexion. And then taking the band around the forearms and having him do that. So you could spend like a few weeks doing that, but he needs to go into closed chain because I was able to progress him quicker. I couldn't load him the way I wanted to in open chain. He just had that patterning of that levator scap kicking in, overactive, upper traps. It was just, and it kicked in an open chain. That's when his non-optimal patterning came back. Tennis, right? Open chain. That was his issue. But you can progress your patient via closed chain program, high load, even into handstands, and still be at a lower level open chain, and they'll still get the benefit, right? And so the closed chain I just mentioned with the scapulohumeral disassociation, hands on the wall, and just going into internal and external rotation, it's a great way to do that, right? It's a great way, and I just had him do that in standing, normal width, okay? Another great exercise I love for open chain, and he was able to do this actually fairly okay, I think because his hands were together. And so I had him supine on the table. I had him grab a weight. I have a ball here in my hands, but he was grabbing a weight and he was literally doing figure eights, lying on his back doing figure eights. So you're coming out of neutral, right? Non-neutral, that's scap thoracic disassociation, non-neutral, right? Doing figure eights. And so having him control that movement, okay? Those are really great ways to sort of go out of like sagittal plane, right, into transverse and frontal plane. So the only other things I would mention, except I've done a lot with him, but I think you really the main thrust of this is you can progress people through closed chain, pretty quickly, even if they have an issue with open chain, because it will translate over. You need to develop optimal patterning at loads, at high load. And you can go into a full-foam plank on the floor, a three-point plank, and they still could be doing figure eights with the ball, right? So, but you need to be able to progress them through that program so the load will transfer. Not going to transfer 100% neurologically in the sense is a lot of open chain patterning, that's going to be different than closed chain patterning. However, Anybody who knows a bit of exercise physiology will know that we need to have adaptations to strength training for exercise, right? So if you have your patient and you're frustrated and you can't get them to do an arm lift because they're overactivating certain muscle groups that you don't want them to activate, that's a source of significant frustration for both you and them, right? So, but you can do closed chain and you can do it well. So you want to load them progressively so they can develop the neural adaptations to exercise, so that'll carry over to open chain. And it has with him. It has with him. So it's really important to look at the categories of exercise. Open and closed chain are both important. Neutral, non-neutral, both important. We've talked about that. But because of somebody who's played a sport for a long time, or like me, I've had multiple injuries on my left side, so I am very much on my right side. All right. If they display a dominant pattern across all the movements that you assess, okay, this is ingrained in their brain. Okay. And so you need to short circuit that pattern, and you need to develop capacity at high load to get them out of that pattern. Okay. So this guy was very much, ironically, he was loading that right side because of an old injury on his left. Okay. So we needed to work on center of mass. And Susan and I actually talk about that in our next episode, number 204, about center of mass training with a patient of hers who had overactive bladder. So, but I want you to think about, don't get frustrated if, if you can't progress them in one category of exercise, try something else. Use your creativity a little bit, okay? And even with this guy on Pilates, if for those of you who have access to a Cadillac, right, you can easily just load, spring from below, and just have him do push-up. That's an e that is I would say that's closed chain. And do heavy load there, sprung from below. Scap protraction, retraction, arm reaching, you can do that in with cables, right? Cable. A lot of load that he could do because it really wasn't above 90. The non-optimal pattern you generally will see is going to be, above 90. And once again, it's with the athletes or the people who have played a dominant sport all their life. They've got it is ingrained in their brain in a way that you have to change that pattern. I had a patient during the pandemic actually who was a rower, and I don't think we've done an episode on him yet, but he had left-sided low back and foot pain, and he loaded that left side. And why did he load that left side? He was left sweep for his college rowing team. So he was like this, left, 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 left the entire time. What set them up, what kept them there. So he was chronically loading his left side. The minute we started getting him off his left side and centering him and releasing certain muscles that were keeping him there and training new patterns, he got better. So just think about, try to connect the dots a bit. And once again, the reason why I wanted to do this episode was, just because you're getting frustrated in one category of exercise, think about other things you can do, either closed or open chain, and progress quickly because those neural adaptations will carry over. Hope you enjoyed the episode. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out. And thanks again. And for our new, and we've had a few new listeners, actually a bunch of new listeners. Thank you. And for all of our loyal listeners, thank you so much for being part of the Tough to Treat family. And we've gotten some emails and some direct messages on Instagram about, certain topics on the podcast. And so what I would say to all of you is that go to our website, toughtotreat.com, type in the search bar, whatever keyword you're looking for, low back pain, knee pain, vestibular, urinary incontinence, pelvic floor, type in whatever keyword, and there'll be a list of episodes that have those keywords in them. Okay. So there's a lot. We've got 200 now, over 200. So go back and listen to the episodes. You'll see, I mean, we started this in 2018, and so we're in 2024. So we've come a long way. But we certainly have a lot of content, and I actually go back and listen to episodes as well. So, we never can stop learning. So hope you enjoyed it. And thanks again. And we'll see you in the next episode.